Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. We're talking with Val Hoyle, running for Congress, the Democratic nomination in the 4th Congressional District, a seat currently held by Congressman Peter DeFazio, who, of course, announced his retirement after this term a number of months back. And Val, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
I guess at the front end here, help listeners get to know more about you, your background, where you grew up, your education, that kind of thing.
Sure. My husband and I moved here 22 years ago based on the quality of life and the reputation of the school district. We both wanted to live somewhere where we could, we're both very active in outdoor sports, and this is a beautiful place to live in. When we got here, we found out, you know, about the school, so I got involved in the parent-teacher organization. I then, you know, got involved, you know, with talking to my elected officials and eventually ran for office. I grew up in New Hampshire, the other state without a sales tax, and graduated, went to Bunker Hill Community College, and then graduated from Emmanuel College, which is was a Catholic women's college in Boston. And then I worked in the bicycle industry in retail sales, manufacturing, distribution, and international sales. So when I came here, I came to work for Burley Design, which is a bicycle company, bicycle trailer company, and I was their international sales manager. And then since I've been here, I ran for elected office to represent West Eugene and Junction City, which is interestingly, you know, it's a mix of very conservative, very liberal, and a whole bunch of people in the middle, right? And so it's like a microcosm of the 4th Congressional District and of our state, and quite frankly, of our country. So I was the state representative there for 7 years, and then ran for and won the election for labor commissioner. So that's what I currently do.
What led you to want to be labor commissioner?
Actually, if there was a job, I love this job, and if there was a job that was actually made for me, it would be this one. It's all the things that I care about my entire life. So it's holding you know, bad actors accountable for abusing workers or stealing their wages. And it, by doing so, leveling the playing field for the businesses that follow the law. They shouldn't have to compete with businesses that aren't following the rules or doing what they're supposed to do. So, you know, at the Bureau of Labor and Industries, we enforce employment law, fair housing law, and oversee and certify the apprenticeship programs for the state. And we have the business technical assistance program. So we work with a lot of small businesses to help them think through the rules and, you know, give free advice on basically how to follow employment law. But really, one of my passions is apprenticeship and opportunities. So I've been able to work on that and expand apprenticeship opportunities, even beyond the building and construction trades. And again, to people who would never think of that as that pathway for them. So, I mean, I love everything about it. I was in the State House, was able to work with people across the political spectrum. I both was a third generation union member and worked in the private sector. So I think I have the unique ability to see things from both sides. And that really helped me when I was in the House of Representatives, certainly in this job as the majority leader, all of those things.
I'm curious, being labor commissioner, what that's been like during the pandemic in terms of, you know, we've got labor shortages, various labor issues that have come up, and a lot of things that maybe, like everything else during a pandemic, that you didn't always see coming.
Yes, it has been fascinating, and it's just a unique time to be alive, right? So we came in and started running the agency as we did, and then the pandemic came, and what we found was that a lot of workers and employers just wanted to know what the rules were. And, you know, coming from where I come from, I my focus at the Bureau of Labor and Industries was to make our services more accessible and more customer service friendly, right? Because I feel like we came into an agency that was overly bureaucratic in how they connected with our customers. And so when the pandemic started, it was clear that people wanted to go to one place to find the rules, whether it was on masks or whether it was on, you know, distancing or whatnot. And instead of having to go to the Oregon Health Authority or the Employment Department, I don't oversee the Employment Department, or, you know, OSHA, we took a no wrong door to government approach. So on our website, which I upgraded to make it so that it was more accessible, on our website, we put all of the rules from those other agencies. When people couldn't get through to the employment department, we took those calls, and I talked to my staff, who have been just phenomenal in saying we need to adjust how we're doing business because people have different needs and people are desperate. And so, you know, as much as I don't oversee the employment department or OSHA or OHA, I felt like our role in getting that information out was critical and important. And I think we did that quite well.
Now, clearly you really enjoy what you do. So my next question would be then, why leave that and run for Congress?
You've been talking to my husband, right? Because that was his question as well. I think this is a unique time in our history, and we have done very well in having someone like Peter DeFazio, who really understands the district, has been able to be a strong champion and a strong voice, both for our rural communities and for our urban areas. And I, you know, grew up being taught that you don't stand on the sidelines when a job needs to be done. If you're the person that can do it, you should step up. I do love the work I do as labor commissioner, and you can hear it in my voice. And I love public service, but I want to make sure that this part of the state continues to have that strong, effective representation in D.C. And I've always put working families first. I won't apologize for fighting for my values. You can see the work I did in the legislature as labor commissioner. And I have connections, relationships, and have done work with people throughout this district for over 20 years, both in elected office and before I was in elected office. And I want to take that knowledge and those relationships and go to Washington, D.C. To advocate for and be a strong voice for the 4th Congressional District.
As a freshman in the House, how would you hit the ground running?
Well, I have the added benefit of having been in a legislative position. So I know it is why I've received the endorsement of Peter DeFazio, of Jeff Merkley, over 24 different elected leaders throughout the entire district. First of all, it's about making sure that you have good relationships with the people you're working with. I would request to be on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee because I think we've done well to have that voice, and especially with the money coming out of the infrastructure package and with whatever comes out of Build Back Better, we need to have somebody pointing out what's needed here. I know as a freshman, I won't have as much of a voice and seniority as Peter DeFazio had, but I do understand how to work with a legislative body. I do understand who the different interest groups are and who the stakeholders are. And I think the most important thing that I have and different than other people that are running in this race are long-term relationships and an understanding of what makes this district just as special as it is. So I communicate well, I work well with people, and I've been able to be successful both when I started in the legislature and it was tied, and when Democrats were in the majority. And I pride myself on being able to work with people from across the political spectrum without compromising my values.
All right, going to take a break. More on Inside Douglas County when we come back. Val Hoyle, our guest candidate for the Democratic nomination in the 4th Congressional District. The interview, a KQEN podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later, your cue, Shannon Sebastian, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And tomorrow, I will be live from the Seven Feathers Sportsman's and Outdoor Recreation Show at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. So looking forward to seeing a lot of you out there tomorrow and talking with folks that have got exhibits out at that show. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. Also, don't forget that on Umpqua Valley Live tomorrow afternoon, I'll be in studio. Curtis Salgado, a legendary blues artist, will be joining us via phone to talk about his music and some of the things he has going on right now. So special music interview tomorrow with Curtis Salgado. Val Hoyle running for Congress as a Democrat right now, the state's labor commissioner. Now, you go in, you mentioned transportation and infrastructure being an interest. Are there other particular committees that you would hope to be able to serve on?
You know, there's so much that we can do. Certainly, healthcare. I worked with the United Way 100% Access Coalition before the Affordable Care Act, and when Lane County had a 21% uninsured rate. I think we need to do more to make healthcare more affordable. I think we need to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. I certainly care about jobs and apprenticeship. I'm really passionate about education and apprenticeship. Not every child learns the same. I'm dyslexic, so I learn differently. But and I think that with apprenticeships, where you can be paid to learn to an industry standard, can really help us with our workforce issues. Because, you know, everyone I talk to, they say, look, I have really good jobs. Not everyone I talk to, but many people, really good jobs that pay very well, and I just can't find the workforce. For those 50% of jobs that need more than a high school degree and less than, a full college degree, apprenticeship, I think, is a really great model, and I would love to bring that to the federal level. The bottom line is there's a lot that we need to do. I certainly, want my children to be able to, they're living in Portland right now, but to come back here and raise their family, and I know that a lot of people here want to do that, so we've got to look at how do we have affordable housing. I'll tell you, I've talked to businesses on the coast, employers, who said the main reason they can't find employees is that their employees can't afford to live on the coast. They can't find a home. They can't find an apartment. We've got people in the Coast Guard that are ready to get promoted, and they can't because they're living in Albany or they're living in Salem, and they can't live in the area. So I think that's something we need to really think about addressing. But one of the biggest things that I would like to focus on, and I'm certainly working with Congressman DeFazio on transitioning because he has a lot of knowledge, is the container port in Coos Bay. This would be a really, really big deal. You know, getting money from the infrastructure package to upgrade our rail lines, getting more trucks off the roads, allowing our farmers and manufacturers to get their goods to market more quickly and directly, and then providing a lot of jobs. I think, you know, I mean, you've heard it yourself. Over the past 30 years, people in our rural communities have heard that, you know, there's going to be green jobs that pay well, but we haven't seen it. So I think we need to deliver, and there is a place for a public-private partnership. If you look at Fred Wall Marine, I mean, he employs about 120 people. Connect Oregon gave them a grant to get a travel lift, and, you know, so because they make ships and fix ships. So that allowed them to expand. Peter DeFazio was just able to bring in $67 million to rehabilitate the North Jetty in Coos Bay. And that's a channel where, you know, our fishermen, recreational boaters, cargo vessels, you know, need that jetty to protect the waterway. And our congressman was able to bring that money in, and that impacts everyone's daily life. That's what I would like to do. I would like to work with this community and every community in this district to make government work for them in the way that it can. And the best way to do that is investing in community projects that bring jobs and training.
Now, you're in the Springfield area, the 4th District, and of course the boundaries changed a little bit. Some people like that, some people don't, through the redistricting process. But what's your knowledge of a lot of the other areas in the district, as large as it is?
Yeah, the district now goes from Curry County, which is on the California coast, up through Lincoln County, Benton County, and Douglas County out to Roseburg. So this district has more of the coast than any other Oregon district. So that's 250 miles of the coast. I've been an elected official in this district for, you know, since 2009. And as labor commissioner, I'm the only statewide elected official who is not from the Portland metro area. So whether it was when I was the majority leader of the House or as labor commissioner, I've really focused on outreach to communities that just haven't felt paid attention to. For instance, you know, this is as, although it's not directly answering your question, in Eastern Oregon, the Bureau of Labor and Industries hadn't had staff there for 20 years. And so I put an apprenticeship representative, and she's a business technical assistant apprenticeship representative in that area, because that's what, when I went to the John Day Chamber, they said they needed. They said, people keep trying to recruit new businesses here. We want support for the businesses who've stayed, and that's what I did. So I know how to work with communities. I actually have long-term relationships throughout this district, and that's why I have the endorsement of elected officials and community leaders in every single county in this district. And I think what's critical is being able to work with people across the political spectrum. You know, certain people are going to vote for me. I mean, I am a Democrat, but when elected, and what I've done throughout my career, because I've always represented mixed districts, red-blue districts. I think it's important to represent all the people in the district, not just the people who you think are going to vote for you.
How active are you going to be here as things start to ramp up towards May?
Well, you're going to see a lot of me. But again, fortunately, this isn't the first time I'm meeting people. Right. So having those relationships, understanding the community needs, I think that gives me certainly a leg up over many of the other people that are running. But you're going to see me, you know, now through May. I certainly hope you'll see me a lot from May through November. And then after that, if elected, you can be assured that I will focus on representing the entire district and not just the Eugene and Corvallis.
What are your thoughts about potentially living in Washington, D.C. area?
Well, I mean, of course I would have to get an apartment there, but I have the great fortune of living just outside of Springfield on the Mackenzie River with my husband of 31 years. And I don't intend to make Washington, D.C. my home. I know that the commute for this seat is the longest in the domestic United States. It's 22 hours round trip. And Peter DeFazio came back here a lot to represent the district and made sure he never lost contact with people here. And that would be my plan as well.
Real quick, give people information about your website and how to connect with you that way.
Sure. My website is valhoyle.com, and you can email us, ask us questions, or support the campaign that way. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity for letting us speak with you today.
All right, 1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.